In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville. Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast of your, by far and away, first place Miami Dolphins, now on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I am Sam Marcoux. He is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer, Mr. Christopher Lloyd Cullen. Chris, how are you doing on this 3-0 Monday, my friend?
How am I doing? Sam, I'm doing amazing. We're 3-0, like you said, by far and away first place in the AFC East, and we just had one hell of an entertaining game to watch yesterday. Man, I'm over the moon.
It was entertaining, especially in the second half, which we'll get into, but it was also a lot harder and maybe more costly than I think most Dolph fans and citizens of Perfectville were thinking going into this game. We didn't do a podcast last week for various reasons. Number one, I was out of town, but you can find Chris on the Fins Up Fans Down podcast. He was a guest host on that, so you can get all of his thoughts about our victory against the Jets. But this game against the Oakland Raiders, Chris, had we had a podcast, I would have told everyone, do not sleep on this game, because number one, it is the quintessential trap game. You're coming off of a Jets victory. You have the Patriots week four. This game sandwiched right in between against a seemingly hapless 0-2 at the time Oakland Raiders game, or Oakland Raiders team, probably looked like a no-brainer victory for the Miami Dolphins. However, one thing I know about John Gruden is that he always has his team prepared. And this was no different. He's very good at scripting plays early in the game. He's very good about understanding the weaknesses of the opposing team, in this case, the Miami Dolphins. And he knows how to expose that, especially early, like I said. And that's exactly what happened in the first half of this game. The Oakland Raiders were absolutely dominating both sides of the ball. I was very thankful to see the Miami Dolphins only down by, I believe, 3 before the half. It could have been a lot worse, Chris. I mean, what are your thoughts on the first half of that game? It was very hard for me to watch that.
Yeah, very difficult. You called it. The first half was brutal. Jordy Nelson just absolutely torching us.
Destroyed us.
John Gruden, like you said, had a plan. He came out and he wanted, with Rashad Jones out, he wanted to attack the rookie. And Minka Fitzpatrick looked like a rookie a couple of times, and that's okay. That's okay. He went for it all for a tackle and missed it on the big gainer. And then just seemed to be out of position a couple of times, totally fixed it and adjusted. So that's fine. That's more, I think, apt to a benefit to this guy, a compliment to him that he did start off with a couple of Band-Aids and he ended up being fine. I think he had like 9 or something tackles. But yeah, John Gruden came out with a plan of action, totally torched us in the beginning. And it looked pretty brutal. We were booing in the crowd. Our play calling was kind of conservative. A lot of three and outs, things like that. Travis Wingfield mentioned on Twitter that we were setting a game plan up, and it seemed to be like we were sacrificing drives to do so. And it was risky. Gase definitely has balls, man, because it ended up paying out at the end. But, man, we looked like just we were walking on empty at that point, and the Raiders were on full cylinder.
Yeah, you know, Travis may say that, but I disagree. I don't think you're ever really necessarily sacrificing an entire half of football, because that game was, you know, basically a few plays away from just getting completely away from us to the point where we wouldn't have even been able to come back. We did have the refs working against us late in that second half. I think we just, quite frankly, didn't know what to do with Rashad Jones out. We've said it in the past. When Rashad Jones is in the game, it's completely different than when he's not. He is the MVP of this defense. I mean, all due respect to Cameron Wake and people from yesteryear and this year, it's Rashad Jones or nothing. And Minka Fitzpatrick, as good as he is and as talented as he's going to be for us for a very long time, he looked out of position, and that's no fault of his own. He's been playing nickel corner for the first part of this season, and having him go back and play safety on, you know, not a moment's notice, but really, that's not where he's been playing. So it made sense that they would attack that early. It made sense that they would go after him. And as much as I know about John Gruden being a good game planner, I also know that Adam Gase is a very good second half adjuster. I've seen it time and time again. So I didn't really panic too much, because I figured we'd come out better in the second half, which we did. And we'll get into that. But this had the potential to be a disaster for me personally, Chris. As you know, I live in the Oakland area. If I had lost, I would have to face everyone forever for the rest of the season. All Raider fans, just probably the one win they'd get all season, looking at me going, ha ha, we beat you guys. But no, at the end of the day, the Miami Dolphins come back, storming back in the second half and win 28-20 to move to 3-0. That, coupled with yet another Patriots loss, means that they now have a two-game lead through 3 weeks in the AFC East. Everyone else 1-2. The Buffalo Bills won against the Vikings. The Jets lose against the Browns. And the New England Patriots lose to the Detroit Lions, who were also previously winless. It's got to be just one of the best Mondays in recent history for the Miami Dolphins over the last few years. I can't remember the last time the Miami Dolphins had a two-game lead in the AFC East. I mean, I couldn't even fathom a guess. I'm going to guess maybe, I guess I will fathom a guess, early 2000s, somewhere in the Dave Wannstedt, Jay Fiedler area, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003, something like that. It's been a long time. I know that.
Well, Armando Seguero had a great story today about how good teams win games like this. And this is a game, I feel like I've repeated myself now, that this is the type of season, like week one, where, you know, week two, we pretty much smoked the Jets. There was no problem. But week one, I know we had mentioned afterwards that we weren't worried. We felt like we were in control. However, it was one of those games with a lot of weird occurrences happening and things that normally we let get in the way and distract us and we cause a loss. This game here against the Raiders, same thing. Like the crowd's booing, it's hot, we're playing from behind, and it just we pulled out some trick plays. We had some big plays on defense, Wake getting pressure. Xavier Howard, by the way, you mentioned Rashad Jones being the MVP. Xavier Howard's like, excuse me, because he's playing lights out, and if we don't have that guy, we lose yesterday. So
that's true.
Xavier Howard is unbelievable, playing out of his fucking mind. This guy's having a Pro Bowl season. I can't believe quarterbacks keep testing this guy. Carr on with 2 minutes and something left, goes deep in the end zone, one-on-one, trying to test him. Beautiful catch, tracked the ball perfectly, got two, 3 feet down. Unbelievable momentum changer, sealing the deal for us. And that's where normally it's one or the other. The defense breaks and the offense is left losing with 39 points on the board, or vice versa. The defense has a great game and offense can't get points. It just seems like we're more balanced. The offense is doing things, the defense is getting us the ball, or turnovers, or we're making touchdowns happen. So it feels good. It's a feel-good Monday. Like you said, two-game lead, unbelievable head start to start this season. And we're shutting a lot of people up, a lot of national attention now, like Tannehill's getting spoken about for early MVP candidacy, of course, comeback player of the year. People talking about Xavier Howard and Pro Bowl, and of course, the discussion of us being 3-0 in the AFC East and the Patriots kind of tripping up a little bit. This has just been a fucking fun 3 week start, Sam. It's been great.
I think I speak for all citizens of Perfectville and Dolph fans everywhere around the world when I say fuck the national media and their bullshit bandwagon jumping ways. You and I predicted them to win every single game of this season so far, even if we didn't have it. We're not wrong yet. So go ahead and jump on and hold on to our nut hairs as we go to first place, even further beyond this. Fuck the national media. I'm sick of them. I don't know why anyone would ever listen to anything on ESPN, NFL Network, or any other Yahoo Sports, NBC Sports. Fuck them. The only people you need to listen to are everybody here on Perfectville, Dolphins Talk.com, and all your favorite bloggers and podcasters that follow the Miami Dolphins day in, day out. That's all you need. Everybody else, just trash as far as I'm concerned. Speaking of trash, though, Chris, looking at this game, just looking at the stats, if you did not know the score, you would swear that the Raiders won this game. They had 25 first downs to our 13. They had 434 total yards to our 373. We both had a total of 11 drives overall. They had 109 yards rushing to our 41. They had 8 penalties for 38 yards. We had 9 penalties for 74 yards. Just up and down. Time of possession, 38 minutes and change for the Oakland Raiders, 21 minutes and change for the Miami Dolphins. Looking at just the raw stats, you would go, oh my God, the Dolphins got boat raced out of this game. But that's not the case, mainly because of the things you just talked about. We had 2 turnovers, which completely changed the momentum of this game. And if you look at yards per play, and this is what blew my mind, Chris. Yards per play, the Miami Dolphins actually had 9.6 yards per play. We're talking chunk yardage. You're talking every single play that we had on offense almost netted a first down in terms of on average. That is unbelievable to me. Now, of course, we only had 39 total plays to the Oakland Raiders 74. So what they did is they basically made it count every single time they were out there. And of course, those are skewed just a little bit by the shovel passes, which I think should be counted as run plays, but that's not for me to decide. But Ryan Tannehill, 289 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, a passer rating of like 155 or something like that on the game. Albert Wilson with a perfect 158.3 with the crazy trick play. And I gotta admit to you, man, I don't think going into this game plan that Miami was setting up any trick plays. I don't think Miami planned on even using those trick plays, but I do think Adam Gase, to his credit, looked at this team and said, we're not going to win this game running the ball. We're just not. I think Frank Gore had six rushes for 12 yards, and the last one is what he got. He actually got like 5 yards on that last rush. Kenyon Drake, non-existent. We knew that we had to pass the ball with Ryan Tannehill. The Oakland Raiders knew that, and they started gearing in on him. You needed to do something to shift the responsibility of the defense to look at somebody else. And that trick play that they pulled in that fourth quarter was exactly that. And that's what actually, I think, that was probably, I'm going to guess, I'm willing to bet that that play was in the coffers for the New England Patriots when we were going to play them week four. But Adam Gase, reading the situation, said, you know what? I got to use this now if I'm going to win this game. I can't worry about the Patriots. I got to focus on the Oakland Raiders because they are giving us a fight. And he pulled it out, and to his credit, all the players executed flawlessly. And here we are just rooting and cheering 3-0 with a two-game lead 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah, how entertaining. Like, it went from being a somber mood in my man cave to we were just going ballistic. I mean, the interceptions, and then you're talking like a jet sweep to Grant for a touchdown, a jet sweep to Albert Wilson for a touchdown, and the high five at the end was absolutely just gold, one of the greatest moments in our franchise. I say recent history. I know I mentioned that to you last night while we were texting each other, but that was just – one of the coolest moments that made for, and here's the best thing, Sam, and I know I'm like being a stickler here. I've seen people standing still in high five and like do that awkward, like you half hit their hand,
yeah,
and it kind of awkwardly goes past. Like, they were running full speed in a game in front of 70,000 people away from guys trying to murder them, and they perfectly placed their hands in a high five that was just absolutely 10 out of 10 textbook high five while sprinting. These guys are unbelievable. I'm glad he's having success in Cleveland, but we are not missing Jarvis Landry at all with the way Gase has made these guys a part of this offense. Parker did not hurt our game planning or anything like that with how we did things. Parker got his, Wilson got his, Grant got his, Stills got his, even Gesicki, 3 catches, 30 yards. I mean, 10 yards a catch. That's just fucking unbelievable. And that's the stuff we are talking about, what Gase wanted. It's just been unreal in that play there. And then of course the belly type handoff to Gore, who pitches it to Wilson. Tannehill seals the defensive end, and Wilson makes an amazing throw to Grant. Fun fact, Sam, I don't know if you saw this, but Grant and Wilson have a bet all season with each other that they will have to pay the other one $100 in cash if they are tackled in the open field. So these guys have just like got the chemistry. It's unbelievable. The Dolphins tweeted speed thrills, and it's so true. That was just one of the more magnificent plays I've ever seen, Sam, and it sealed the deal. It was just so much fun to be a fan to watch that.
That's not a fair bet. Albert Wilson's making way more money than Jakeem Grant. I think Jakeem Grant should have to pay $1 for every $100 that Albert Wilson is getting after what the national media called the worst contract in the offseason. Doesn't look like that right now. You know what I mean? It just looks like money well spent. And if I could steal a term from baseball, we kind of rebuilt Jarvis Landry in the aggregate. You know, this is kind of like the Oakland A's Moneyball era where, you know, Jason Giambi's gone, but if you can go get yourself some players like Scott Hatterberg and somebody else who can get on base, if we can get people that can just get in the end zone and get first downs, and we've done that with Danny Amendola, we've done that with Albert Wilson, we've done that with Jakeem Grant in terms of keeping with him for season three here and seeing what he can actually do and contribute on this offense. And credit to Devontae Parker. We've been hard on him. We had an entire episode not too long ago where we just trashed him completely, and I said the odds were not good that he would end the season with the Miami Dolphins. He had a fantastic catch. I think he had 2 or 3 catches on the season, or on the season as well, but in the game. But one of them, 37 yards, whatever it turned out to be, the longest play at that point of the day for the Miami Dolphins. And that's what he brings, a big body that can, if he can shield the defender, can grab the ball and give you what you need. Just a fantastic game plan in the second half. I give all the credit in the world to Adam Gase. I give all the credit in the world to the Miami Dolphins on offense. The defense, You know, it looked shaky early. They let the Oakland Raiders walk up and down the field. Marshawn Lynch, why this guy ever retired, I don't know. This guy looks like he could play for another 5 years just bulldozing people. He made Minkah Fitzpatrick on one tackle attempt look like a child. And that's not a knock on Minkah Fitzpatrick as much as it is praise for Marshawn Lynch. I mean, the guy is just a beast. And, you know, it's one of those things where, Chris, we got the win. It was kind of like a nice fresh of breath air to go, oh, my God, we came back from behind in the fourth quarter, won. We have a two-game lead, but it's a very costly victory, Chris. As you know, we are now down. One of our starters and one of our playmakers on defense, William Hayes, goes down with a knee injury after sacking Derek Carr and in trying to adhere to the new bullshit rules that the NFL has put out, tries to not put all of his weight on the quarterback, instead puts it on his leg. His leg gets caught in the turf, and he tears his ACL out for the season. What are your thoughts on the big man making a play, going out on a sword, as they say, but gone for the rest of the season?
Yeah, crushing loss for that, because he's an eccentric guy. He's the one, you know, the whole doesn't believe dinosaurs existed, but believes in mermaids. So when he made the sack at first, I thought he was celebrating. I thought he was like celebrating doing a mermaid or a fish. Like,
I totally agree.
In the end zone.
I totally agree.
And then my brother's like, okay, this is excessively long. Like, I think he's really hurt. And I'm like, oh, fuck, he's holding his knee. At first, I'm like laughing, thinking he's celebrating. And then, he's out for the year. It's bullshit. Clay Matthews has been screwed a few times. National media picked up William Hayes' injury, and Trey Wingo and Richard Sherman even like kind of tweeted about it, about how it's just bullshit. These new rules of protecting the quarterbacks are getting too far. And now the guys, it's in the back of their mind. They don't want a penalty, especially in that situation. It's third and long, way backed up to our end zone. If he lands full weight, whatever you want to call it, on Derek Carr, it's a beautiful play, and they're going to, you know, throw a flag there. Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. He ends up overcompensating, put his leg down when the momentum tore the ligament. He's out. Akeem Spence makes a fucking stupid-ass decision to rip a helmet off of a guy, and we thought it should have been a stop on third down. All of a sudden, it turns into an 8.5-minute drive because Akeem Spence gets kicked out. Hayes goes down. Branch is hurt and is going to miss a few weeks. Like you said, costly game, costly victory. But luckily, we have depth with Charles Harris and the likes of that, and Quinn and Wake. So it just was a brutal injury for William Hayes. I feel for the guy. But, man, these rules suck. And that's, of course, going to be a podcast for another time.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, the NFL and the players' union has to look out for somebody other than a quarterback. I mean, at some point, when do we just put a red shirt on the quarterback and say, you can't hit him? You know, if you touch him, it's a sack, but you can't hit him. That's where the league is going. I mean, they're trying to protect their stars. I get it. You know, the league makes the most amount of money from its players at the quarterback position, but it's not fair. I mean, it's not fair to somebody like William Hayes, who's been working his ass off and has been playing lights out for the last couple of seasons, quite frankly, to have to get himself injured and possibly lose not only parts of his career, but parts of money. You know, guaranteed contracts in the NFL just aren't really there unless you're Kirk Cousins. It's ridiculous that they won't protect other players. And I have a feeling that at the end of the year, they're going to have to reevaluate this rule, because if people start getting hurt because they're trying to not hurt other people, it's a bad rule. And at this point for the Miami Dolphins, unfortunately, it's a bad rule that's hurting our people. Speaking of bad things, it seemed like every sack we had in this game, you just alluded to it, William Hayes, and then, of course, Cameron Wake gets his sack, which was that his first of the year, Chris?
Yes, it was, yeah.
It was his first of the year. Everyone's happy. It ends the drive. It looks like momentum is going back to Miami. But seemingly every single time the Miami Dolphins had a sack in this game, something bad happened, whether it's the William Hayes injury or, in this case, Akeem Spence getting pushed to the ground. And as he goes to the ground, rips the helmet off of the Oakland Raiders player. He gets caught. He gets thrown out. And then all of a sudden, the defensive line, which had all this depth, is razor, razor thin for the rest of the game. And wouldn't you know it, the September heat and humidity almost cost the Miami Dolphins a game, as opposed to giving them a game. Credit to conditioning and credit to the rest of the guys on that line, with Devon Godshall leading the way, as well as a few others there that just stepped up when they needed to and made plays time and time again. What an incredible performance by the leftovers. But what do you think of Akeem Spence getting thrown out of this game early?
Just selfish, completely selfish. Cam Wake gets a sack. You get pushed down, get up and play football. You know, I tweeted it out. I'm like, stop with the bullshit antics afterwards. I get being chippy or whatever, get in the guy's face, say something, but to rip his helmet off, and the guy, of course, smartly did not retaliate. So it's not offsetting penalties. All of a sudden, you just give them a first down. You gift them a first down when we had this big, you know, we needed that stop. The defense needed that stop, and it just seemed like we weren't getting off the field. And in that heat, we are keeping their offense on the field and their defense fresh. And that's just not what – that's not a recipe for victory. So it was just a horrible play. I'm sure Wake had a talk with him and the other veterans. He's a veteran himself. It's just not a good look, especially with Branch and Hayes then getting hurt. But kudos. Like you said, Taylor stepped up and had a sack, QB pressure, bunch of tackles. The guy was just a monster. And it's like when I tell my kids when I coach, if you don't start, it doesn't mean you don't have the opportunity to show us something when you get a chance to get on the field. And that's what Taylor did. He stepped up when we needed him. And I can definitely see a Kendall Lankford getting a call the next day or so.
Took the words out of my mouth. I was going to ask you, where do the Miami Dolphins go from here? Because William Hayes, you're not just going to find him on the roster at this point. Are they going to go sign a street free agent, somebody that was in training camp a la Kendall Lankford? Or do I mean, it did happen before the trade deadline. Do the Miami Dolphins feel confident enough right now where they should go trade for maybe not a name, but somebody where they can maybe spend a little bit of late round draft capital and get into this rotation that fits what they want to do here on defense? I think you might have answered my question there for me. So you think Kendall Lankford or somebody like him is getting a call and coming in this week?
Yeah, I would see it. I would like to see it. I don't know what shape he's in or whatnot, but I would like to see maybe give a call to Jared Odrick, see what he's doing. I know he left the Jaguars a year or two ago, so I'm not sure if he's in the league or if he's even anticipating playing. I'm not sure. Those are two names I can think of, former Dolphins as well. But I would totally see it making a trade. Why not? I mean, we're 3-0. If Adam Gase thinks that this team has a chance to make a run here and go deep into the playoffs and have a successful season, you have to. You have to make that call because Branch is out for 2 to 4 weeks. Hayes is gone. Akeem Spence got suspended, but he'll be – or kicked out of the game, but he'll be back. But we still are very thin after losing Sue. And we got Charles Harris and Quinn and Wake. That's about it for our defensive ends. So it's one of those things that we're absolutely going to have to find somebody either on a free agent market or make a trade to a team.
Yeah, Jared Odrick is currently a free agent. He might be getting back into shape by doing the Pee Wee Herman dance on a treadmill as we speak. either of them or somebody else. I mean, they got to get somebody else in that rotation. They just cannot afford to have that thin of a rotation or just, you know, go forward and maybe fill that spot with another roster player at a different position. They're going to have to address the defensive end.
Maybe we can get
rid
of one of our four fucking quarterbacks that we're still keeping on our roster. How is that a thing, Sam? There's two of them that are inactive every week. I don't understand what Adam Gase is doing here. And that has to be a change coming up with the guys we've lost already in the first 3 weeks, wouldn't you say?
I mean, safe money says that we're not going to house four quarterbacks going forward. But then again, I mean, everything that I've questioned against Adam Gase so far this season has proven me wrong. So what do I know? I mean, maybe we need four quarterbacks for some reason or another, although I don't think anybody else is going to get any playing time as long as Ryan Tannehill continues to do what he's doing. At this point, you know, I want to get back to Xavien Howard. You know what? Let's just stick with defense, and then we'll talk about Ryan Tannehill and wrap this up here. But player of the game, it's got to be Xavien Howard, right? We agree on that?
Yeah, oh, for sure. For defense, if we want to be specific, and of course mention Grant or Wilson, but Howard, man, it has to be. He has a deep touchdown ball, which Amari Cooper just gave up on, by the way.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. So Carr just threw it in triple coverage, and then that interception to seal the game with 2 minutes left was fucking lights out. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, by the way, is Raider fans feel about Amari Cooper the way we feel about Devontae Parker, except for the fact that I think Amari Cooper even has more talent than Devontae Parker, but just doesn't seem to be able to put it together consistently week in, week out. Got to be frustrating as a Raider fan watching that, that effort, if you want to call it that. But Xavien Howard, defensive player of the week, I actually agree with you. I think since they slapped hands, you might as well put Jakeem Grant and Albert Wilson as offensive players of the week here for the Miami Dolphins. And even though he's injured, I think this is week three where the Miami Dolphins get to scream a la Andre Branch body bag because we beat the Oakland Raiders, moved to 3-0. But going back to Xavien Howard, I know your thoughts on him, but do you think that he finally, not that I give a shit, but do you think he finally gets national media attention as a bona fide number one shutdown lockdown corner?
He has to. He absolutely has to. Somebody put out a stat. I think he has like 8 interceptions in the last 10 games or something crazy like that. He's already picked off Tom Brady multiple times. What does he have? Four picks in 3 games?
I think I think 3 so far this year, but he's leading the league. I know that.
I mean, it's fucking unbelievable. And not only is picking off like he's not picking off just what's his name, the backup for the Titans. Like he had Mariota.
Yep.
He picked off in the back of the end zone. He
Gabbert.
Picked off David Carr twice. I mean, just unbelievable the kind of guys that he's intercepting. He's giving up something absolutely asinine, like fucking 40% completion percentage or even lower than that, or 6 yards per pass against him. He's just unbelievably locking down that one side, and it's frustrating to see the other side when Tankersley's a healthy scratch when he was a starter last year and McTyre can't cover anybody. Mm. McCain even got burned a couple of times. We need to shore that up. But Xavien Howard, good Lord, I don't understand how a quarterback will even throw his way. And it's going to be interesting to see if he takes away Josh Gordon on Sunday with Edelman still out from suspension, or if they move him around some and see what Matt Burke does there.
Well, I think Xavien Howard is one of those talents where he can actually just, you know, cover half the field, or he can cover an individual player. And I'm not sure if you put him on Josh Gordon, or if you put him with Gronkowski, or if you let Mika Fitzpatrick or Jerome Baker or somebody run with Gronkowski. But we'll talk about the New England Patriots Week 4 on our second episode of Perfectville later this week. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We were not here last week, but we've got 2 episodes coming up this week for you here on Perfectville. This one, we're focusing on the Raider beatdown. Yeah, I'm going to call it a beatdown, especially in the fourth quarter of the second half in particular here, Chris. So we have Xavien Howard. We finally have a true number one shutdown corner. We have Rashad Jones when he comes back, one of the best safeties in the NFL. You've got Mika Fitzpatrick, who's probably the most talented and most productive rookie going here in 2018. On offense, you have Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant. You've got Danny Amendola in the middle. You have Mike Gesicki finally starting to get into the routine and rhythm like we expected him to. I think you and I both expected him to start slow, especially with all these weapons, and then kind of come on late and be one of those favorite targets for Ryan Tannehill down the stretch. But really, this offense, this team, is only as good as Ryan Tannehill allows them to be. This is not the RPO, not the run-pass option. This is the RTO. This is the Ryan Tannehill offense, as far as I'm concerned. That is what they should be calling this, because this entire thing is catered to match his strengths, like I talked about previously. What are your thoughts on Ryan Tannehill through 3 weeks? I mean, I think I know, but just lay it out on the line for me.
Dude, I'm loving him. I'm loving him. This is exactly what we wanted. We knew he was not going to take this game for granted. Being out all of last year, we knew, seeing the success he was having early with Adam Gase in his first year, that after being in the building with this guy for his third year now, that he's going to come out with the weapons he has, and they're going to make sure they cater the offense to him. Adam Gase, I got on him early for his play calling yesterday. And I'll continue to do so. There's a lot of conservative stuff I do not agree with. I think he needed to pull the trigger a little bit more.
You don't like running with first and 20? You don't like a dive play on first and 20?
Screens over and over again and not letting Ryan. And my thing is, like, let Ryan throw the ball. Like, let him. I think he's earned his trust at this point. 7 touchdowns, 2 picks. 54 of 74, 73% completion percentage, Sam. And
yeah,
he's got a 121.8 rating. I mean, that's Pro Bowl number. 700 yards almost. And he's running the ball. He's running the ball at the perfect time when he needs to. That run yesterday out of the end zone to get that first down, and it just, like, that's the kind of shit right there that his teammates, and you can see it, Sam. You can see it when they play. They love the guy. He's making throws. His linemen are hugging him. They're slapping his head. He's posing for pictures. Fuck you, Omar Kelly. With the guy celebrating in the end zone, with Albert Wilson, these guys are talking him up like $1 million, and he's making the throws. That throw to Stills yesterday for a touchdown could not Dan Marino, not Elway, not Unitas, could not have been any better. He stepped up in the pocket, threw it, gave Stills just enough room. By the way, that wall is way too close. Back of the end zone. Jesus Christ, that old man got like leg whipped in the face. And Stills, I was fucking terrified he took a big hit there and was possibly concussed, but he's okay, dusting himself off. But it reminded me of that Chargers throw a couple years back, Sam. That fucking pinpoint accuracy is iconic. That is an iconic throw. That is not a throw that just happens on a whim, not even in the NFL. That throw... and then the throw to Parker down the sideline as well, where he put it on the money, on the run, in between two defenders, safety over the top. And even the throw to Parker earlier, too, before that, where Parker, I think, should have came down with the pass. It was a deep ball, kind of like a skinny post that Parker needs to fight for a little bit more, but I'm not going to give him shit for it. Perfect throw. This guy's intermediate, mid-time, and deep throws have been just unreal, and I think it's laughable that a few years ago, when Mike Wallace was on the team, all he was shit on for was his deep ball passing and how bad he is. This guy has just shown up, and he got literally mentioned in the top 5 in MVP conversation right now. Like, in 3 games, I know it's early, 3 games, but Sam, he's playing lights out. And yeah, I know we kind of can joke on like the runs that he kind of pitched forward count as passes. But you know what? If he threw a fucking quick screen out to the left and they broke a 70-yard run, he'd still get credit for it. So I'm not going to really hate on it too much. Those numbers over the season, over and over, 54 of 74 is not just quick pitches. Like, this guy is making good throws. Only two picks, and that's in one game. He's had two clean games of interceptions already. He's back, and he's playing his ass off, man.
This is by far his best game of the season, because even in that Jets game, he had a couple of bad fumbles that really didn't need to happen, even though he didn't have any interceptions there. So this game was very, very clean. If you remember on that Kenny Stills touchdown, he actually got hit by a wall of defenders coming in up the middle. Ironically enough, we almost lost Ryan Tannehill to a wall of defenders, and we almost lost Kenny Stills to an actual wall. Could have been a very costly touchdown, but both of them are no worse for wear, although Kenny Stills is now petitioning to have that wall pushed back a little bit. And I happen to agree with him. Nobody's even sitting in those luxury seats right there. So why don't you go ahead and move that back, Mr. Stephen Ross? You're a player's owner. Make that happen before we come back.
Turn it into a ball pit or something.
Yeah, just make it Nerf so it's fun or something, you know? Or
can you imagine Stills catches that and just knees and slides into like a giant ball pit? That'd be hilarious.
Can you imagine if it was a trampoline? So when he catches it with that much momentum, he just bounced it in and just flies all the way to the other end zone.
Like, now slam ball? Do you remember that shit?
Oh my God, slam ball would be amazing. Let's just have a slam ball touchdown celebration after every single Kenny Stills running like a maniac in the wall touchdown grab. I would love that. You know what? I don't think we need to go any further. I think... Any podcast that ends with a slam ball reference, Chris, is ending on a high note. We'll talk about the New England Patriots. We'll talk about all things Miami Dolphins later this week in Perfectville. But for right now, Chris, three games in, three games won, and two games up on the division. Miami Dolphins finally getting some respect from the national media, finally getting the recognition for the fans that the fans so desperately need after following this team for so many goddamn lousy years. Who knows where the rest of the season is going to take us. We have a big test against the Patriots in New England week four against a pissed off, twice losing in a row New England Patriots team. But for right now, Chris, all is good in Miami. William Hayes, get well soon. Anything else you want to talk about on this episode of Perfectville, Chris?
Now, a quick shout out to Mike and Noah. Thank you for having me on the show. Fins up, fans down. That was a blast. I love that. That product and the type of show they have is fantastic. So that was great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you can check out Fins Up, Fans Down, starring Chris Cullen on the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network, along with the Daily Dolphins Talk podcast and, of course, Perfectville, or as you know us, welcome to perfectville.com. Chris, with that said, congratulations on your team being in first place all by themselves on a two-game lead 3 weeks into the NFL season. And with that, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.